Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
Because I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
We'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We're past the tax deadline. We passed that on May 17th, so I guess it's a chance for you to kick back, walk the dog on the beach, and just enjoy summertime in Eastern North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Not busy at all.
Not busy at all. No. It's life and taxes. It goes on and on and
that's,
on.
That's right, Mike. No doubt about it.
What do you got for us this morning, Andrew?
Well, I want to talk to our listeners a little bit about probating a copy of a last will and testament.
Okay.
I think this is a little interesting topic. I know some of our listeners out there might be scratching their head and go, wait a minute, you know, probating a copy of a will. I didn't even know that was possible.
Put that term in layman terms, probating. Yeah. What does that mean?
Means that probating means putting the will on record with the clerk of court.
Okay.
And that will be the last will and testament of the individual. And then their assets will be disposed of consistent with the terms of the individual's will by putting it on record with the clerk's office. Exactly. It's official.
Okay.
And the interesting thing here is that, and we tell our clients, original will is going to be required in order to be probated. So at Harvell and Collins, we actually provide a service for our clients and hold the last will and testament in our vault system. So it's protected, safeguarded. We know where it is. There's no wild goose chase at the end of the day to try to find an individual's will. So it's one of the things that I really like about our practice, that we have the ability and the space to do that for our clients, because I've had appointments where that has not been the case.
Right.
And they come into the appointment. Is this the original? No, not the original will. Okay, well, at least you got a copy. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the original?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think mom or dad had a storage unit, and maybe we should go try to check in there. Maybe they had a safe deposit box, and let's see if we can find the key to that.
See if the bank's open.
Exactly. So, you know, I call it a wild goose chase because I feel like sometimes it really is.
Sure.
And I always remember one of our clients who, I use a storage unit example, said, I think dad had important papers in the storage unit. And we'll see. So she spent a whole weekend going through the storage unit, and lo and behold, she actually found the original document. It was a needle in a haystack, but she found the needle.
Yeah.
So that was a task that she had to do, but she did find the original at the end of the day, which was pretty impressive. But the good news would be, as long as we have a copy of a will, then we have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike, and I think that, and the reason I say we have a chance is because copies are obviously not as good as originals. But there is a procedure, and under North Carolina law, it is actually driven by case law. So this is kind of one of those things where we have statutory law, i.e. passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, codified under North Carolina general statutes. And then we have case law, which is where these disputes go before judges over time, and decisions are made, and then we abide by those decisions as precedent. And probate of a copy of a will is actually a product of case law, which is interesting. So there's no set statute. I can't point you right now and say, go to North Carolina General Statute X. Because guess what? It does not exist regarding probate of a copy of a will. So it's a product of multiple cases and multiple holdings, and you end up with a set of rules through case law. And so
does case law emanate from the Superior Court or from the Appeals Court?
Both.
It can be a case settled in Superior Court without it going to appeal, and that's what it
is. Correct. But most of the time what ends up happening to establish case law is that you end up in with probate matters, the exclusive jurisdiction starts with a clerk of court.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's an opportunity to go to Superior Court, and then after that, you're exactly right, there's an opportunity to go to Court of Appeals and then to the Supreme Court of North Carolina.
So any of those three.
Any of that could be precedent, you know, depending on what happens. But most of the time, you know, we practitioners rely upon Court of Appeals and Supreme Court cases because those are holdings that are easy to be found and clearly have gone to higher levels and have been scrutinized by those judges and justices.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that we really rely upon relative to these provisions. So let's go over what's required relative to probate of a copy of a will. In case there's some listeners out there who unfortunately can't find an original will at some point and say, what do we got to do to probate a copy? Well, number one, you got to be able to prove the death and domicile of a testator. Okay. Well, that's fairly straightforward. Mm-hmm. The death certificate, certified death certificate, is great proof of death. And then as far as domicile of a testator, domicile means where the individual was and where they intend to remain. So sometimes an individual, for instance, can die in another county.
Sure.
You know, you have car accidents. Mm-hmm. You have individuals who are transferred to a hospital for further treatment. You have an individual maybe who's lived in Carteret County their whole life and then goes and lives with their child who happens to be in another area of North Carolina
right.
to get care. But really, their intention was always to remain in Carteret County and only went there for the limited purposes of being taken care
sure.
of.
Right.
Obviously, domicile in that case would be Carteret County. So those are examples, and then someone would make a sworn statement in this particular case through a petition in order to prove the domicile of the testator. Number two, you got to prove is proper execution of the will, Mike. So we have to have an individual come forward and state that this will, if it's either be an attested written will or a holographic will if we're dealing with a copy, because those are the two ways that we have written wills under North Carolina. Attested written will are the ones that most people are familiar with. That's where you have a signature by a testator,
mm-hmm.
two witnesses, notary. Those are the requirements under North Carolina law. So what happens in the probate of a copy of a will is we have to get affidavits by those witnesses who Ooh. Saw the individual sign saying that, yes, they did in fact see the individual sign. They were in their presence, or the person affirmed that they were in their presence. And that this was a valid will upon the execution.
That can be a little challenging.
Can be challenging. And the other thing is we have people sometimes that have died or are missing or
right.
we can't find them. And then we have to explain in that case, we have to, through a petition again, why that person is unavailable, why they can't be there,
mm-hmm.
and then offer other testimony or evidence relative to why this is a duly executed proper will under North Carolina law. Holographic will is a little bit more interesting because the requirements for a holographic will are three people that say that it was their handwriting,
yeah.
that individual signed that document. So, you know, then you got to really find three people and have them put forth affidavits and possibly have testimony relative to the handwriting on that particular will if it's a holographic will. So that's how you would get to the proper execution of the will requirement. Number three, contents of the will. Pretty easy if you got a copy. Hey, the mm-hmm. contents speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the paper copy that I have here should in fact be the script, and the terms that are listed on here are what the testator wanted. That's the contents of the will. If it's lost, a little bit more difficult and challenging to say what the contents of the will were, but you can't offer testimony relative to that. And, you know, obviously the determination will be made by a judge or a jury relative to whether or not that passes muster and could be admitted to probate. Number four, no intention of the testator to revoke the will. So this is an interesting one. Because we don't have the original will,
mm-hmm.
we have to know whether or not that will was revoked. You know, revoking a will can be by ripping it up,
yep.
marking through it, burning it. There's so many different ways that a will can be revoked. And then if you don't have the original, there's a presumption, if that last will and testament was last seen in the presence of the testator, that he did intend to revoke that will. And then you have to overcome that presumption, you know, by evidence.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
Because the copy is merely that what it is, a copy.
That's exactly right.
At that
right.
given time, it's a snapshot.
Correct.
What happened after that? Subjective.
Correct.
Anything.
So, you know, then the question becomes, hey, did there happen to be a natural disaster that could have taken this will away? Was there a flood? Was there a fire? Was there a hurricane? You know, was there an interested family member who happened to be around the testator at the time who may have had, you know,
influence.
A motive
yeah.
to do away with this last will and testament? And
the plot thickens.
The plot thickens. That's exactly right. A little more sinister there.
Yeah. yeah. But you got to get over that hurdle.
That's right. So, and there's that presumption that they intended to revoke it. So there has to be testimony
that it's not
that the will was not intended to be revoked, and that, you know, that they believe that this was in fact the decedent's last will and testament. The final thing, last requirement, is a diligent search for the original will. So you have to say in there that, look, where he kept his important papers, he or she, where, we looked for, we contacted his lawyer, you know, if we knew he had a long-time lawyer, various things like that, in order to say that we went forward and tried our hardest to find the original will, but we just cannot find it at this particular time. And those are all the elements that you have to meet, Mike, in order to be able to probate a copy of a will. So, you know, what's our take home from this? Our take home from this is it's so important when you do your, when you take the time to do that original document to safeguard it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a couple ways you can do that. I mean, number one, I talked about if you're one of our clients, we can hold your document for you to make sure that nothing happens to it and where it's readily accessible when it's unfortunately needed. You can put it on record at the clerk's office. So where you currently, you know, live, if you do a last will and testament, there is a procedure to allow the clerk's office to hold your original will.
Okay.
So that's a possibility as well. The other thing is, you know, safes and various things, safety deposit boxes, which I don't love because there is a procedure that we have to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, take time to preserve that original will because look what you have to prove.
That's a high
if we have to go there, and guess what that means? More time and more expense.
More time and money. Yeah, time and money. Life and Taxes with Andrew Foster. If you have questions about your will or any type of estate planning or financial matters, call 252-726-9050 or go online to HarvellandCollins.com. Thanks, Andrew.